How are we doing today? I don't believe you. How are you doing today? You doing good? Okay, I believe half of you are doing good. How are we doing today? I am so excited, and I have such a great expectation on God right now. My soul is pulling on God as if I'm trying to make a transaction at an ATM right now. It's like I'm trying to charge something, and I have an expectation, and I'm tugging on God, and I'm really not sure what's coming. I don't know what's coming out of the G-O-D ATM. I don't know even what to call it exactly. Out of my heavenly account, I don't know what's coming, but I'm extremely excited about it. Amen. And so I want to preach to some people today who are not only chasing after God, but you believe that when you catch up with God, he's got something for you. Amen. Okay, amen. I want you to grab your Bible. If you don't have a Bible and you're used to all this digital technology up here and you just want to read along, do so. I'm coming out of Philippians in the King James Version, chapter 3. I want to look at verses 3 through 14, okay? I'm going to be up here for about 20 minutes, which if you've ever heard me preach over the last 6 years I've been here, you know that that's going to be a world record, all right? I'm used to preaching for about an hour, maybe two. The chicken is cold, it fries. You don't have anything good to go home to, but you're full of that word. The football games are over. It's not even football season. The draft is over. You don't have to worry about it. Why you come with the short message at this time? That's all right. Don't worry about it. I got about 20 minutes starting from the time I read my first word. All that other stuff is not a part of my time. Stop your watch. We're going to read, and I'm going to give you something to feed the expectation that's burning on the inside of you. Is that all right? All right. Philippians chapter 3. And we're in the King James Version, starting at verse 3. It says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Amen. I want to know who let you in on my message, Marseille. Where you at? We'll talk afterwards. Tell her I want to know who told her what I was preaching. Holy Spirit gave him my message. Paul is an outstanding character in the Bible. If you like good stories, he's got a great one. I always want my life to read as a great novel, as a wonderful movie. What's a great movie that's out? Wakanda. Anybody seen Black Panther? I want my life to read like Black Panther. Because I know I'm on display. And I want people to be interested in what they see. A lot of times when my story gets really good, I want it to like, all right, get boring again, because when you have a really good story, it can be stressful. You have a really good story, I mean, it can be taxing. A good story can keep you up at night. Paul has an amazing story. And if you follow the arc of his life, it's very interesting. We start out in this chapter, and he's given what looks like a list of accomplishments in the flesh according to the law. The law is worship according to works. And he's talking about his works, and it almost looks as if he's high on himself. But it's not that at all. It's really important that he starts out saying these things, because the people who are persecuting Christianity at the time, the Jews, are looking at these Christians the same way he used to. As if these Christians are somebody, this group of people who are coming to completely do away with everything that is godly. Completely do away with all that is holy. And he gives this list of accomplishments, and he does it to solidify the fact that we're not doing away with what's godly. Christians are simply those who have come through a transition. Christians are those who have at least Jewish Christians, those who started out according to the law, they started according to with worship according to the flesh, according to works, and have now transitioned to worship according to faith. They worship God by grace through faith, not of works. And they have transitioned. It was not always this way. Even those who come to Christ and they were never a part of the law, those Gentiles by nature, those who were Gentiles, transitioned from whatever it was that they had faith in before, or if they never had faith in anything but themselves, to this faith in Christ Jesus. Paul was on his way to Damascus with some arrest warrants in his hand that he had gotten from the high priest, because he was a man who was passionate about his faith. From day one, and you can see by his list of accomplishments, these things aren't easy. Paul is a man who has dotted every I and crossed every T. Paul is a man who has been very zealous about his faith. Paul is a man who has memorized all five books of the Pentateuch. Paul is a man who can correct you on the little idiosyncrasies of the law. Things that people argue over and have disputes about, Paul can come in and correct it just like that. Paul only has this ability because of his passion about his God. Because all of the zeal that you see in the scripture that we're looking at, he's really talking about chasing after God. He is chasing after the God of his salvation because he knows that God has a calling on his life. Am I speaking to anybody that's got a calling on their life today? Okay, so you kind of like Paul, all right? Paul is very passionate. He's madly passionate. He's enthusiastic, zealous about following after his God. He follows after God with a tenacious faith. And it wasn't just like this after his conversion. It wasn't just like this after the transition that he experiences on his way to Damascus, but it was like this before. You see in verse 6 that he says that when it comes to zeal about his God, he persecuted the church. He stood by and held men's jackets while they would stone Christians. Specifically Stephen, right? He talked about it. I was holding their coats for them while they stoned them. He had many Christians captured, put into a system of law, found guilty, and punished. And it wasn't about the people. It was about the people and their way, as they called it. They were of the way. They weren't even called Christians at this time. And they're standing in the way and basically almost stand to derail the system of worship that he is so zealous about. If anybody came up in here and tried to derail the mission of this church, some of y'all might lose your religion to keep your religion. Because you're zealous about your God. We don't always do the right things in our zeal. And Paul through his transition, finds out that he wasn't necessarily doing the right things with his zeal. And so he had to do a 180 and come back. What does it say about a man who's so passionate about his God that he'll have people put to death to honor his God? He is so excruciatingly passionate that it burns in him when he sees something that looks like a wrong in him. Almost like when Jesus flipped over the tables in the church and made that whip and start beating people up out the church. And said, the zeal for my Father's house is eating me up. He's zealous about his God. And he's zealous through the transition, because we see in verse 12 that now he is following after. He's still chasing after God, but he is now following God, but on a different road. I want to talk just a quick second about these transitions, because transitions can be very difficult. Is anybody going through it? I'm not even going to ask. Transitions are a fact of life. And if you're sitting in here today, you probably just come out of a transition, you're in a transition right now, or you're about to go through one. You see it on the horizon, and you might be dreading the transition. And transitions can be so difficult because we're just creatures of habit. We like things a certain way. I mean, I change my living room up every now and then just to, you know, kind of be a little different, but I don't want to come in the house and see the living room different. Because that's not a transition that I chose. I want to pick and choose when I go through a transition. I don't want to have to deal with something that life threw at me, and I don't want to have to deal with something that a person threw at me. And if my wife changes the living room, I'm bound to change it back because I didn't choose that transition. And my wife doesn't have a good eye for how stuff should go in the house anyway, so she knows she ain't supposed to be doing that. Just leave that alone. I want to be able to walk through my living room at night and not trip over something. And that's how life is a lot of times. When things transition, you have to transition and things move around. Sometimes you end up tripping over stuff that wasn't there before. Somebody knows exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, all right. All right. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Transitions can be very difficult because we're creatures of habit. We like things the same way every day, all day, unless I choose to change it. And even transitions that we choose to change can be the hardest because we underestimate how hard the thing is that we're stepping into. We choose to become married and have absolutely no idea that in about 6 or 7 years, you're going to be ready to choke them to death. You didn't know. Well, they changed. No, they didn't. They always been like that. You just don't have the same patience for them. Never mind. Transitions. Even the ones that we choose. We choose this particular job, and then we hate our boss and our coworkers. We choose to have kids, and then we want to give them away. I mean, I'm not preaching from my own experience right now, okay? She threw up down my collar at about 5:30 this morning, and I just kind of like, oh, that's so cute. I'm not, that's the joy of parenting, amen? And when she hits teen years, y'all committed to pray for me, so I just want y'all to remember that. Transitions. Transitioning from a youth to a teen to an adult, even though really there's no such thing, okay? There's no real thing that will tell you other than your hormones that there's a transition that is occurring, other than the marks that your parents make on the walls to see how tall you're getting, and the fact that you smell a little bit different than when you were a baby powder covered baby. Age ain't really nothing but a number. But in our society, there are mental and psychological constraints that teach us that as you go from this stage to this stage to this stage, there is a great transition and you need to be aware of it. Puberty is a transition. Goodness, it's a transition to get old. I love how you encouraged us and said it's not that bad last week. You can just sleep and I just eat and sleep, sunbathe, and it's all good. But it's a transition to lose teeth and then go and buy some. Lose hair and go buy some. Lose eyesight and go buy some. It's a transition. And it can be very difficult. It can be agonizing to the mind to go through these types of transitions. Paul is going through this transition, when he hit Damascus, he had to go through that kind of a transition. All his life, he had been following God and chasing God and persecuting God and trying to apprehend God. And suddenly he finds out he's following God on the wrong road. Has the GPS recalculate. And so now the rest of this chapter, he describes that through the transition, he did not lose his identity. He's still the same zealous man on fire after God. Which is very important because sometimes transitions can make you forget who you really are. As you transition to operate from one arena into another, you can kind of forget who you really are. You can start to act as if you're somebody else. I remember when I first came to Fort Huachuca and I was instructing and I found out I didn't know as much as I thought I did. And so I would just sit and be quiet. I would try to play the, y'all know I'm not quiet, but I would sit and look really smart and intelligent. I wear my glasses and I try to, be that silent killer that knew everything. And a question would come my way and I go, If I didn't know it, I would blow such smoke. I would blow that smoke. And it was a transition for me, though. It was very difficult and it was uneasy to step into a realm where I didn't know everything, but was expected to. And so I had to become the person who God intended for me to be on the platform, but I wasn't there yet. A lot of you are going to experience promotions and experience transitions that you are not ready for according to your flesh. But God says in the spirit, it's time and you're ready. I want to encourage you, don't shy away from the transition. Don't shy away from the thing that the Holy Spirit is illuminating in your heart. Don't shy away from the thing that you're saying you're not ready for and you're actually not qualified for. I want to show you, you can step into everything that God has for you and God will build you in place. Has anybody ever had that happen before where God had to build them in place? Where you step in and you receive the promotion and you're now, we got a lot of military in here. When you get into that NCO realm and you're now a supervisor. And you're supposed to be not only supervising those below, but advising those above. And you're not there yet. You don't have the regulations down. You don't understand everything about the organization. But God builds you in place. I want to encourage you, don't shy away from your destiny, but be just like Paul and continue to passionately press towards your mark. Something that you may not know about this particular scripture, but in three different places, Paul uses the same word. It's the Greek word dioko, and it's the word that he uses for press. It's the word that he uses up in verse 6. For persecute. And it's the word that he uses or the phrase that he uses in verse 12 for follow after. Same word. Press. Persecute. Follow after. Press. Persecute. Follow after. And it's interesting that he uses every single time it's used in essence, as a means to show how fervently he is pursuing God. He persecuted the church because he felt like they're derailing God and his plan. They're derailing religion. He's following after Christ in his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He wants to be more and more like God. And what's cool is that after he basically, you know, is writing the book on Christianity, he says that I've not quite arrived. That's almost like seeing a couple that's been married for 60 years and saying we don't quite have it down yet. But what I like, though, is when he says, I'm pressing toward the mark. It's like that 60-year-old, or excuse me, that husband that's been in the marriage for 60 years is as if he is saying, I've had her for 60 years, but I'm still chasing her. Paul looks as if he's arrived, but he said, I'm still following. I'm still following after. I'm still persecuting the things of God that lie ahead. I want us all to commit in our spirit right this day that everything that God has for you, you're going to press forward just like that man that's been in there 60 years saying, I'm still after her. By the way, married men, if you don't keep chasing your wife, don't be too upset if somebody else catch up to her. All right, that's just for the men. Okay, that's just for free. I'm not preaching that today, but the Holy Spirit says somebody need to hear that. All right. All right, I ain't gonna go there. All right, I want you to understand that this is not something that we can just do one time when it comes to our Christianity. It's not cool to just read Leviticus one time and say, my God, I made it through it. Finally, that was the most boring book I ever. But to read it again and again and to understand that Leviticus is really the heartbeat and the essence of a person who really wants to approach God and not offend God. It's not for us to just say, look what I've accomplished. I got to preach at Shiloh. Bucket list checked off. I'm good to go. This is something where we reach an accomplishment and we reach our heights in God and we reach so many different things that we were trying to accomplish and we put them to the side and say, okay, I'm forgetting those things that are now behind. And anything that I got before, you know what, I count it as dung. I got there, I received it, and I'm putting it away now. And I'm pressing towards those things that are ahead. Because God still has something left for me. If I'm still breathing, God has something left for me. If I still can think clearly, God has something left for me. And I have to press through transitions. Because on the other side, there's a blessing that is waiting for me. And I don't care if you're 80, 90 years old listening to this message right now. There is something left for you. The word that says your latter days will be greater than the former days still applies to you. If you can't do nothing but speak, the word still applies to you. Because there's brothers out here like me that need all that gray-haired wisdom. And if you're talking through teeth that you bought, I still need the word of knowledge that comes from your mouth. And by imparting down to a younger generation, your wisdom is still coming through and impacting the earth. There's still something left for you to do. All you gray-haired preachers, keep talking. There's a whole generation out here that needs your wisdom. How many minutes I got? You are five over. Stop lying. This is my day. Time stops at 20 minutes. And so I just really want to, and I'm closing really. I'm stopping right now. I just wanted to encourage my family right now one more good time and let you know that as you transition in every area of your life, You might be transitioning in your finances and wondering, is that dollar going to last till the next one comes in? You might be transitioning on the job, going to and from job to job. The good thing is you're glad you're leaving one job. The bad thing is you don't know which job you're going to next. You might be transitioning in your faith. You might have just got saved and wonder, what in the world did I just marry into? No matter what the transition is that you're going through in life, press forward with expectancy, knowing that the God of the transition saw you where you were and chose to put you on this new path. The God of your transition has gone before you. The God of your transition is with you. He's your rear guard. The God of your transition stands on all sides. And you can press forward with expectancy, with great anticipation, knowing that there's a blessing that lies ahead. I wouldn't stand here and blow smoke because I ain't got time for it. I want a real word and I want it right now. Not only that, God makes me live these things before I preach them. I'm in a great transition right now, and I'm having the time of my life. Devil's packing up my notes. 10 years of marriage. Hair is on it starting to turn gray. Brand new baby. I'm going to be 60 by the time she's grown. Good God Almighty. What the world? God must be crazy. Moving across the country, one place to another. Going about an hour from family. We swore we'd never be that close to family because Lord knows they can be crazy. Just show up. What's for dinner? Leftovers. Great. It's not enough for you. I'm in a transition, and I'm pressing forward with expectancy. Every step of this transition, I'm pressing forward with expectancy because the God that brought me to this point is not about to drop me off. I've preached about him too much. I've testified about him too much. I've put him out there on display. People know that I love God. So if I fall, his reputation falls. And that's why you should testify about your God every chance you get. Because now it's him on the line. It's not about you anymore. If you keep your mouth shut, he's got a right not to bless you. But if you open your mouth and put him out there, then he's got to come through every time. So I'm pressing with expectancy.